Thank you, Lloyd. Appreciate that reminder tonight. We can face tomorrow because we know he holds our hand. Again, we're so thankful that Steve and Debbie are here and thankful that Steve was able to be here tonight specifically and preach for us. And so, Steve, you come on up. He's not a guest speaker. He's just one of us. He's part of our staff, if you will, and we're glad he's here. Steve.
Thank you, Don. Good evening. It's a blessing to be here, as always, and it's a joy, and Don, I'm actually happy too. You were here this morning, right? The series that he's doing Sunday mornings on lies that we believe and tell ourselves, excellent. I congratulate you, excellent series. Debbie in Peru has done a series similar. Ladies, I think maybe there was a book on it, a study on it, lies that women believe, and that our value comes from our husband. No, our value comes from God, and different things like that. Wonderful studies, very practical topics. Excellent. Really, really enjoy that. Nicole and Paul and Stephanie send their greetings all down there in Arequipa. Brief update, we've had some really neat ministries down there in these 2 months, our summer months, January and February, camping season. Our camp is over 30 years old now, did some improvements for this camping season, and wonderful times. Had a pastor's camp a couple of weeks ago, pastor's family camp. Had about 170 people there with the pastors and their wives and their families and trying to develop a growing partnership with the local pastors and churches that we can fellowship with and work together, and not work as islands, as silos. Work together, we can accomplish more down there. Wonderful week, blessed week. This week, New Life Baptist Church is there. Just completed a week of camp. They may be on their way home right now as we speak on this bus trip back home to Arequipa at this time. Had a wonderful week at camp there with Paul and Nicole and the church, just a great time. Was a transportation strike that was blocking the road, but praise the Lord that that was lifted and they're able to get home safely. So we'll continue to remember them as they travel home from camp, about 3-hour trip. Wonderful things. You may recall us mentioning another missions initiative that was birthed out of the fellowship in Arequipa called Peru 20. Peru has 20 states. They call them departments. They're like states. And out of the local pastors getting together for prayer and fellowship and trying to support each other and work on different things, birthed this vision from Arequipa, banding together, we want to visit, do a missions trip, and get to the 20 states of Peru in the next 20 years. And this started 8 years ago. So over these 8 years, they visited a different state of the country of Peru every year. This year, their 8th year, they went up to the area of Puno, Juliaca, about 12 hours outside of Arequipa. Different pastors, different leaders, different believers from different churches are able to make it. Some will go for a month, believe it or not. Some will go for a week, 10 days, some 2 weeks. And whoever can go, when we band together and it's all organized, the idea is that there are little or new struggling churches in each of these states. Praise the Lord. I think we can find a couple of churches in each of the 20 states of Peru. So the idea is to come alongside. So they do a survey trip and they do a prep trip and go up there and talk with the church and the pastors and what we're offering them, and they accept it. And we have these people that come up and they work on the logistics, and we come up and we paraclete with them. We come alongside of this little church and we will help them, and we'll do open air and we'll do puppets and youth and children and preach the gospel. We'll do training for the people in the church, whether it be on discipleship or missions or some other topic, while we're there, because some people are there 10 days and some leaders are there a month, the whole month of January, for instance, and come along and just invest in these little churches. It's called Peru 20. We're in our 8th year. This year they were in Juliaca, Puno area. This week there was a 7.1 earthquake right there in that area where we were. When you hear about earthquakes, if you hear six, that is very high, that is very strong. If you hear anything in the seven range, that can be devastating, depending on if it's out in the rural area or the city or whatever. They felt it in Arequipa, which by car is 8-10 hours. They even felt it in southern Chile, which is some 15 hours. We have not heard much about the people right up in that area, so we're looking to hear from them. We may want to remember, if you could, to pray for the people and the brethren up in the Puno, P-U-N-O area, with this earthquake. We don't have all of the information just this week, but some neat missions and ministries going on there. Wonderful things. Midweek, we go down to the Baltimore area. We'll be sharing in a church there between Thursday through Sunday. A week from now, right at this time, as you have your service, we'll be traveling. Be leaving BWI Baltimore, flying to Dallas, and then flying down to Lima, and then flying down to Arequipa. So we'll be traveling next Sunday evening and get back to Arequipa, Lord willing, midday next Monday. We'll get involved in some ministries there, as we always do. I'll be helping in our Bible seminary this semester, team teaching a course. And that's neat. Team teaching is really neat. Team preaching or team teaching is really neat. So I'll be working with another guy, and we'll be team teaching a course to them in the Bible seminary this first semester. We'll also be traveling in April around Easter time to Argentina. And then the first 2 weeks of May, we'll be in Colombia. The particular seminary in Colombia does modules, which is neat when it can work, rather than semesters or trimesters. They do two-week modules, and that's helpful when it can happen. So I'll be teaching a seminary course in their seminary in Colombia for 2 weeks. And then I'll have the weekend free where we're going to go to another city and visit our missionaries in a national church in another city out of Bogota. And while we're there, we'll be connecting up with missionaries. We'll probably preach in a local church there on the Wednesday night or whatever. And so that's what things are looking for us up through the month of May. Don said, know what your missionaries are up to. Unfortunately, the church knows me too well. They know things about me they shouldn't know. But this is what we'll be involved in up through the month of May. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love and everything that you do for us. Interact with me here for a moment. What are some of the most powerful forces on earth, just in general? And I'll start us off, hurricane. Hurricane is an incredibly powerful force. What are some powerful forces at work? Nature or human? Nature or man-made? Technology is very powerful, including the social media. The power of the social media is absolutely incredible. But either nature or man-made, some powerful forces in the world today. Floods, devastating. I just mentioned one, another one. What was it in Puno? Earthquakes. What else? Fires. Electrical storms. Something like blizzards and what do they call it? Arctic vortexes. And I just tell myself, 60 to 80. In a week from now, we'll be in Arequipa, and it's 60 to 80 degrees all year round. Yes. And tsunamis due to earthquakes in the ocean floor that will come up and just wipe out whole communities. I've got bombs, nuclear power, blizzards, battleships, tanks, social media, tornadoes, and many other things. There's another thing that is incredibly powerful. It is something that can be like a stab in the back, a stab in the heart, and just tear us up. Or it can be like medicine. Words, the tongue, words is an incredible, powerful force. So let's go back to our scripture reading. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just look together at some of these words that appear in verse 29. Let's just look at these Greek words and let's just review them a bit together and in a couple other passages. about words, the power of words, the power of tongue. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication or no corrupt word. Really like the New King James Version. Really like it. It really, really translates well. It really grabs the Greek word well in most cases and just tells us what the Greek word is. It's the word logos, and the New King James says, let no corrupt word come out, proceed out of your mouth. Very helpful translation. Really enjoy that translation. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So just thinking, our mouth, the power of our words, the tongue, amazing. We developed a defense mechanism when people wanted to hurt us with words when we were kids. We developed a defense mechanism. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, which is obviously the exact opposite. You can mend from a stone much quicker than you can mend from a stab in the heart by a fifth grade teacher or an uncle or a friend or a parent or bullies on the schoolyard. No, words hurt us much more than sticks and stones, but that was our defense mechanism. And words and things that we said, I still remember. This should have been no big deal to me, but I was a little kid, and I had one cousin. My name, Stephen, is spelled with a P-H. So if you break that up, and he did, he would call me, oh, look, here's Stephen. Stephen is here. And he would tease me about being Stephen. I don't know, I was 8, 9, 10, 11. I did not like that. I did not like that. It bothered me. And it was all tease, and I knew it was all tease, but just something as simple as that. Oh, Stephen is here. How are you, Stephen? I didn't like that. Why do I remember that until today, at the age of 40? Why do I remember that? And I was guilty. I was guilty. My younger sister, Caroline, her middle name is Edith. She didn't like it, and I very well knew it. Hey, Edith, time for supper. Hey, Edith, time to take the dog down to the barn. Hey, Edith. Beloved Rita, what do we call Rita? Well, in one of my less creative moments, I just rhymed her. Rita Pita. What does Pita mean? I have no idea. Pita doesn't mean anything. Oh, Rita Pita. Jim, what did we call Jim? We called Jim Mr. Jim. Yeah, you don't mess with Jim. No. What do you call Jim? Mr. Jim. No, you don't mess with Jim. No, he's tough. He's rough, and he actually protected me from bullies on a couple occasions at school. Yes, even today. Thank you, Mr. Jim. Yes, thank you. All of these things, a fifth grade teacher, a parent, a brother or sister, bullies at school, and they've said words, and you remember them today, don't you? You remember them today. That's the power of words. That's the power of tongue. The Bible tells us, be very careful. Think. And sometimes we don't think, and we're all guilty of saying and doing. Be very careful. We have nuclear power in our hands, or I should say in our tongue and in our fingertips. We have nuclear power. And we remember things from when we were kids till today. That's the power of the tongue. Proverbs 12 says it's either like a piercing of a sword in the Hebrew, the piercing, the thrusting through of a sword through your heart, through your back, jam, jam, jam. Or it's like it promotes health. It's like medicine. It's like a balm. Our words, our tongue is like a balm. It's like medicine. It promotes health. Or it's a stab in the heart that we remember the rest of our lives. Just a word. Be careful with our words. Be careful with our tongue. So let's look a little bit more here at Ephesians 4 at some of these words. So verse 29, it's a command. It's in the imperative form. But he says, let no corrupt. Corrupt. Rotten, putrid, bad, harmful, worthless. Some of these are synonyms, or some of these words I'm sharing with you are just to give you the idea of corrupt. Trash, useless, hurtful, unwholesome, something that has no true value and harms. It's garbage. Corrupt, rotten, putrid, has no true value and harms. Let none of that come out of our mouth. There's a time when we have to correct our children or correct other people, but the Bible says in Galatians 1, Galatians 6, that we examine our lives before we speak to others about something in their life. The Bible says that we do this with love and with humility, having examined our lives, and we gently and generally kindly share. There is a time for an official rebuke. Sometimes Jesus rebuked the Pharisees strongly. And they were true words, and that was a particular context. Generally, when we exhort and rebuke, it can be gentle, and it can be with love and with humility, having examined our lives. But let no corrupt, unwholesome, correction is for edification, but we need to do it with love and humility, having examined our lives first, so that we have no hypocrisy in our life when we're sharing with someone else about something in their life. Corrupt, rotten, bad, harmful, worthless, trashy. In sports, they talk about trash talk and that type of stuff. And something that has no true value, it is not edifying, and something that harms. None of that to come out of our mouth. None of it. Anytime, anywhere, anyhow, none of it. So I'm sorry to Edith and Rita and others, yes, nothing. Okay, so let's continue here. Let no corrupt, in the Greek it's logos, word. Let no word. Now there's the spoken word, most commonly, but there's also the written word, right? So we have the spoken word and the written word, and let no spoken word or written word be corrupt, unwholesome, unedifying, something that would have no value and actually does harm. No, let that not be a part of our life, spoken, written word. I think of written word, and here's a list of some things. The written word, social media, right? So we have the old-fashioned letters, what we write in letters. And we have emails, Twitter, the president uses Twitter a lot with his words and phrasing and expressing things, and that seems to be his favorite mode of communication, using Twitter. Messenger, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Tumblr, Snapchat, We Heart It, Gab, I think that's only for ladies, I'm not sure. Yik Yak, hashtag, and listen to this. I just listened to you, forms of social media, right? What are you familiar with? Email, Facebook, Messenger is linked to Facebook. Hey, you're familiar with that, right? Okay, what about all these other ones I mentioned are developing? As I said, the president has made Twitter famous. Okay, listen to this. Apart from what I just mentioned, there are listed under a certain encyclopedia 43 more social media avenues besides what I just mentioned. And you probably never heard of Yik Yak or Gab or We Heart It or Tumblr. But beyond everything I mentioned, this list includes 43 other social media ways of communicating, talking, writing, texting, whatever. Just to remind us that the Bible says no corrupt, unwholesome, unkind, unedifying, useless, with no point, that does harm, word, verbal, written, to come out of us. Amen? Boy, that is tough. That is tough to measure our words and our writings, and we're angry and we're upset and we respond to things. The word no here in verse 29, let no corrupt, it's the word pos. It really means every or any or all or every kind. So it means any kind of word communication, verbal or written. Any, every, all, every kind, every type of word communication should not be unwholesome, harmful, without purpose, that does harm. Any, all, every kind. And proceed out is the verb here, and it's a command, so do not proceed out. Do not have proceed, go out of your logos, verbally or written, anything that is unwholesome and is harmful. And here's the verb. It's to proceed out, to go out of our mouth, our mind, our tongue, to come out of, to slip out. Oh, I'm sorry, that just slipped out. To slip out, to depart out of, to come out of our mouth and heart and mind, spoken or written, any, all, every kind that would be unwholesome, unedifying. We're all open to suggestions, but there's no reason to criticize. Pastor, the Easter program was like this, or the Christmas program was like this, and you know what? I didn't like that final number. I don't like how they did the drama. I didn't like that music. I didn't like the instrument. What is the purpose of that? The purpose is you're either trying to make people feel bad, or secondly, really, you with your words are trying to impact someone and manipulate them so that they act and do how you think, and that is sin. That is wrong. Just to criticize, I don't like this. First of all, we don't have a right just to vent our anger and frustration and say whatever we want just because we didn't like it, because it didn't strike us well, and so we have a right to express that. No. No, we do not. And second, many times we criticize because what we really want is to have it happen how we want it to be, and so we want the whole church and the whole program to bow to my ideas and my criteria, and actually I would like to manipulate people through my criticism and manipulate them that they would respond and they would do things how I want them to do, so I hold the church hostage with my criticism and that everything will revolve around me and how I want it done. That is sin. That is immature, that is carnal, that is fleshly. Now, if there's something that could be done better, that is called a suggestion. Pastor, here's an idea. Mike, here's an idea. Here's an idea. I was thinking and I saw the program and it was a great blessing. God bless you for your time. God bless you for your work. God bless you for your commitment. And may God produce fruit from that. Doesn't matter that if I was in charge, I would have done it slightly different. That's of no consequence. But I had an idea for next year for VBS with how they do the food or how they do the puppets. I just had an idea. So I hope it's edifying. I just submit it to you, and you look at it and you study it. That's different, amen? You see what I'm saying? That's a different spirit. That's a different word. That's a different purpose, and that's a different way of expressing ourselves. We don't need to be criticizing, but we can offer suggestions if we think that there may be something that we haven't thought of. And of course, that's true. There's always things that we haven't thought of, so we can offer suggestions. We don't need to beat down and pound down and tear apart with criticism. Instead, we can thank you for your ministry, and we can offer suggestion for you to consider in what you're doing. Let nothing come out of our mouth that would beat down. Criticism beats down. Suggestions can be helpful, and so the Holy Spirit will help us take your suggestion, and we'll work on it, and we'll talk with the leaders, and we'll figure out how to make things better. You see the difference between what I'm saying? Let no word come out. It's a command. It's to all of us, come out of our mouth, out of our speech. So back to verse 29. Let no corrupt, unhealthy, unpurposeful, unwholesome, non-necessary, non-edifying, hurtful word, verbal or written, proceed, come out, slip out of our mouth. And if it slips out, what it means is it was down here all of the time. It was down here. Let's take a parenthesis here, and let's go over to Matthew 12, and we'll come back here afterwards. Matthew 12. This is so hard to do, what we're seeing here, isn't it? This is so hard to do. Man, how many words do we speak in a day? How many words do we speak in a day? And some guys are really chatty. It's not just women that are chatty. Did you ever sit at a table with Steve Kahlo and Bob Horton? Some guys are really chatty. It's not just women that are chatty. And sometimes we're more chatty. And how many words do we speak in a day? 10,000? 5,000? At least 1,000? And to protect our words, the power of our words, our tongue. And see, I'm sorry, that slipped out. What slipped out? Well, look at Matthew, what did I say? 12, verse 35. Well, verse 34. You know, verse 33, we know well at the end, for the tree is known by its fruit. Our actions, our character, we're known by our fruit. Verbal, written, actions, reactions. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? There were people who were doing great harm to the gospel, the Pharisees. And Jesus talked to them and talked to them and talked to them and trained them and taught to them. And finally, he got to the point where I have to exhort them strongly in my words or truth. But that's unique context. Normally, we can rebuke and exhort in a gentle and humble way, normally. But once in a while, there is a time to give an exhortation. But Jesus says, look at the point here. For out of the abundance of the what? Out of the abundance of the what? The heart, what happens? The mouth speaks or writes. Well, it just slipped out. Well, that means then it slipped out because that means that it's been fermenting in our heart. It's been in our gall. It's been in our crawl. That this has irritated us about the program or the music or this or that or the other. And we've just been simmering there. And we haven't processed it biblically. And we haven't turned it over to the Lord. And we haven't let it be. And we haven't understood that we don't need to criticize, which beats down. But there may be a suggestion to make it better. And that is edifying, given in humility and love. But it's just simmering there. This thing is just eating us up and just simmering. About the Christmas program that Steve and Mike did last year. And I just didn't like that one part. And that is still there. And just waiting for your opportunity to tell us about it. It's just, we speak out of what's in our heart. And something irritates us and bothers us. And it spins. And it's like a boiling pot. And sometimes we can keep the lid down on it. And sometimes it bubbles up. And then at the right moment, it slips out. Well, at the wrong moment, it slips out. And why? Because it's been here. We have not processed it biblically and correctly. If we have a suggestion, that's edifying. There's something we need to correct. There's a way to do that. It says, out of our heart we speak. So what we speak is really in our heart. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. We need to be filling our heart with the word and with love and with forgiveness, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4. And we need to put those good treasures and plant and cultivate those good treasures in our heart. It'll bring out good things and good words and good actions. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. Well, Don can delve into this passage and share more about this passage. There's a whole message here. But just talk about idle word. Every idle word, God hears every idle word. And that's all I have time for in this verse is to mention. God hears every idle word. Idle. It's from the word not work. Ergon in Greek is work. And this has a negative before it. It's not work. Every not working word, every not thought out word, not every prepared word, not every careful word, not every word that has been worked upon and processed. It's a non-working word. It was just a thought that came out because it's been simmering in my heart. Idle, non-working, non-profitable, non-thought-out, non-edifying, every chit-chat, every idle word there. He says, God hears. So there's a lot of applications, and I have to be careful because I like to tease people. So I realize that has to do with teasing. It has to do with teasing, and it has to do with jokes, and it has to do with talk just to talk, just because you like the sound of your voice. There's people that are know-it-alls, and they've studied a lot, and so they just like to expound on the latest thing they read, and you have someone in a table group, and sometimes there's people that they have to comment on everything. They can't keep quiet. They have to comment on everything. But some of those words aren't thought out, and some of our texts are not thought out. They're idle words. They're non-thinking, non-thought out, non-prepared, non-edifying, non-purposeful words that just come out. And they reveal what's in our heart, in our mind, and what type of character we're developing, and what kind of person we're becoming. And that's interesting. That's interesting. Sometimes we think that we have a license to vent in the home and vent and say anything we want behind closed doors. No. This is applied to your words to your spouse. This is applied from the parents' words to the children. This is applied from the children's words to the parents. This is applied from the parents' words to the grandparents and the grandparents' words to the children. No, we have no license just to speak whatever that goes through our mind without it being filtered. No, we have no license. Well, behind closed doors, we can say anything we want. The problem is, don't misunderstand me, there's a time when we share with our spouse, we are really, really struggling about someone's actions or what someone did, and it's really tearing at us, and we're really struggling, and we really want to handle it biblically, and we don't want to be bitter, and we don't want to lash out, and we don't want to attack, and we don't want to handle this unbiblically, and it's really tearing me up about what this person is or what they do or what they're like. We're really struggling. And to say to my spouse, you know what, I'm really struggling here. I need your prayers, if you have any advice for me. Because I don't need to go into all the details, but this thing that happened or this person said something, and it's just tearing me up here, and I'm going to explode and I'm going to lash out. And so there's a difference between venting anger and frustration, not handling it biblically, and commenting any idle word over the dinner table, and having words with purpose where this thing is really about to get the better of me, and the Bible says, judge not, and the Bible says this, and if it's something that we need to handle, if it's something that I need to talk to this person about, then Matthew 18 and Galatians 6 tells us how to handle that frustration or offense or whatever with that person. There's a biblical process. But I'm not there yet, and this is really tearing me up, and I'm about ready to explode. And I just got to vent. I don't know that venting is biblical. I don't know if that's processing our anger and frustration biblically. Now, to share with someone, you know, this happened and it's really tearing me up and I'm about ready to sin here and this is about ready to, and so please pray for me. And if you have any advice for me how to handle this, help me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to be careful. God hears every idle word, every non-programmed, planned, purposeful, edifying, whatever. So I can never talk about anything that's troubling me? No, yes, you can. You can talk to your spouse of something that's troubling you. But remember, are we processing biblically our anger or frustration? Are we processing it biblically? Or is it just a vent? Are we just venting our anger and frustration? Because behind closed doors, we're allowed to do that. We have a license to do that and say whatever we want behind closed doors. No, we don't. But we can share our frustration and our struggle and our discouragement with our spouse or with a close friend and say, you know, you don't know all of the details, don't need to know all of the details, but this happened, I'm in a situation here, and it's going to get the best of me, and I really need you to pray for me. And if you have any advice for me, help me. Let's go back to Ephesians just to finish up. I think at one point in my life that I thought I had a license to vent to Debbie. I didn't like this. I didn't like the other. Why do they do things this way? Well, what? You're supposed to be in charge of everything? Everybody's supposed to do everything how you want it done. The whole world bows to you. You hold the whole world hostage by how you would do things and want people to do things. And so you're going to criticize and put out barbs and so forth. No. None of that is biblical. But there have been times that, Debbie, I'm really frustrated here. I'm really struggling here. And just this comment was made, and I'm really having trouble processing this biblically. It's going to get the better of me. Listen, you got to pray for me. You got to help me. What do I do here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Between free venting and getting help for our frustrations and our anger and being careful with our words, there is a difference. There's a difference. No, I do not have a right to say anything that goes through my mind unfiltered by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. No, I do not. No, I do not have a license and a right to say whatever goes through my mind. Sometimes I think something and I repent of it immediately and I say, thank God I did not say that. Oh, shut up. Be slow to speak. Be quick to listen. Filter your words. Every idle word, every unprepared word, God hears. God hears. That's scary. We're working on that, right? That is tough. That is tough. So just to finish up, back in Ephesians 4. What he's saying here is, verse 29, let not, it's a command, let not any or every word or communique that comes, proceeds, slip out of your mouth be a rotten or bad or harmful or worthless or uncare one that would do harm. Kind of a loose translation of the verse, trying to put all of this together. So look over at chapter 5. Verse 4, so that would include no filthiness. Filthiness is shameful, indecent, filthy talk, obscene talk. Then he says, nor foolish talking. Mm-hmm. Foolish, useless, vain, without purpose talking. And then he says, no jesting. And it's really the idea of coarse jesting, jokes, bad jokes, vulgar, indecent, gross, unbecoming, ungentlemanly, unedifying speech. And then he says, words that are not fitting, aneko, something that doesn't fit with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and what we're talking about, something that is not proper, something that is inappropriate. Let that not slip out in your communiques, verbal or written, is the idea here. Well, we looked at Matthew 12 about idle words. And then to finish up in chapter verse 29, so instead of that, he says, but what comes out of our mouth, may it be of needful, necessary edification, and may it impart grace to the hearers. So what we do say, may it be good. He says, that which is good. So that which is good, that is benevolent, that which is profitable, that which is useful, that which is helpful, usually kind. I don't know if Don has to exhort me in a certain area of my life with humility and love, and he has to say something to me and said, I've noticed a pattern of behavior. I noticed something. I don't know what's going on there. I care for you. I love you. I just mentioned to you. That is a kind word. That is a kind word which I should receive. And David in the Psalms thanked God for people who would correct him. We don't like to be corrected. We don't like to be corrected. Nobody does. We run from it. We resist it. We become defensive. Well, who are you to say that to me? Who are you to mention that to me, albeit in love and in humility? Well, who do you think you are? Well, you mentioned that to me? Okay, well, let me tell you something. I got a couple things for you. And we can see how carnal and immature and fleshly that is, right? And David in the Psalms thanked God that there were people who would speak out to them. And David listened to them a lot, and sometimes he did not listen to them. In the case where he took a census, and people told him not to do it, and he didn't listen to anybody. And maybe someone told him regarding Bathsheba. Do you think Bathsheba got from her house, summoned by the king, all the way through the courtyard and all the way up to the king without someone saying to him something to him? Didn't listen. But David generally listened to counsel and sought counsel. And he thanked God for people who would give him useful and helpful counsel. It's kind counsel because we're not attacking. We're not criticizing. We're not beating down. We're trying to help and we're trying to edify. Edify is the word of building up. We're going to say words that will build up and lift up and encourage and put on a sure foundation. So sometimes that is correction because we got a crack in our foundation. We need to shore that up now before it's too late. Our whole character and pattern of behavior is going to change. It's going to produce bad fruit. So that's a kind word to help me fill in that crack in my life. It's an edifying word. And then, of course, all of our kind and edifying words. I'm praying for you. I love you. Let me help you carry your burden. What is your problem? How can I help you? You're doing a great job. Did a wonderful job with the kids program. And we aren't thinking, you know, if I had run it, I would have done it this way. No, we're just saying, thank you. God bless you. You did a wonderful job. And if we have a suggestion for someone, there's a way to go about that that is edifying. But that's not the same of cutting down or criticizing or tearing down. The necessary edification to impart grace. It actually comes from the word didomai, which means gift, to give. So he says, you are giving the gift of grace with words that edify. Wow. You're giving another person a gift of grace when we give them words that are helpful and edifying, and they aren't corrupt words, and they aren't just simple idle words. Does that mean that we can't talk around the table about the latest hunting, last fishing, the last vacation? We're sharing souls, we're sharing spirits, we're sharing experiences. What did you learn from that? How did that go? We prayed for you. It was a good experience. It was a fun family experience. Tell me about it. That's edifying. That's really neat. Thank God. Thank God for that time that you had together on that vacation or with your friend hunting or fishing and hear that and share together. Nothing negative, nothing that's unwholesome, sharing life experiences, and thank God for those things. Yeah, that's not the sign. It's just simply idle and words or jokes or comments or whatever that could do harm. May God help us. We're all working on this. All working on this. So may God help us. Careful of our words, spoken and written. Father, thank you for this time this evening. Thank you for each one that's here. Please take us all home safely in this storm. Pray for the needs of the church, health needs, spiritual needs. Pray for marital needs for those that are struggling. Pray for our children and their edification and their schooling and their walk with you. Pray for so many things. Give us a good week, a blessed week, and help us to edify one another. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Steve. Certainly a challenge for all of us. James says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It is so powerful, and we need to be challenged tonight by what Steve has said. Thank you. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you for the challenge from your word. May we leave this place examining ourselves, allowing you to examine us, truly humbling ourselves before you and asking you to show us where we are not slow to speak, but we are quick to speak and to speak things that are not wholesome, that are not edifying. I pray, Father, that you would challenge us, that you would change us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.